Welcome to episode 85 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on September 24, 2018. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. I'm Ben, and my co-host, Scott, isn't here recording this intro with me. In this episode, we recorded an interview live from Microsoft Ignite 2018 with Sean Bugler, where I interview him about his company's rollout of Office 365. So let's dive in and get started. All right, so I am sitting here at Ignite with Sean Bugler. I got that right,
you
right?
You did.
Bugler?
All
right.
You did.
So yeah, we're sitting here. It's Monday, right after the four keynotes.
Yes,
we had the one big keynote and then three small keynotes. And this is, you also said this is your first time at Ignite.
My first Ignite.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about Ignite, who you are, what you do, who you work for.
Yeah, so I'm Sean. I work for the Metropolitan Transportation Commission for the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
They're the transportation planning arm of the Bay Area, so integrating all 100 municipalities, counties, cities, trying to get them all to work towards one cohesive goal in terms of how they plan for the future of transportation.
Wow.
So it's a lot. They help plan the bike share stuff. They run the transit card for the Bay Area, the regional arm. And then on top of that, we also just merged with another area of the Bay Area. It's called ABAG. They're the ones that they plan housing. So now it's this kind of symbiotic relationship of not just planning transportation, but figuring out what the future of housing is going to be in those areas and things to that effect.
Got it.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke, and I'm one of the founders at Office 365. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at office365mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with office365mon.com.
So you guys have a lot going on, a lot of coordinating, and you were saying, we kind of talked a little bit, you gave me a little bit of a precursor about what you do. You guys have actually had Office 365 for a long time now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gone through a little bit of a stagnation period, and you've just started rolling it out. So tell us a little bit about that journey, and kind of even for our listeners. So Scott and I thought, Scott's not here, he's off doing something. But we thought, yeah, I know, slacker. No, I think he's on a meeting, he's working. But we thought for the podcast while we're here, it'd be nice to talk to some of you guys that have actually deployed it. I mean, Scott and I are consultants. We talk a lot of theory. I have real-world experience with my clients, but it's fun to just sit down sometime and talk to people that have actually gone through it and see what challenges they're facing. So that was kind of the goal, too, of this conversation for everybody listening, is just kind of to get an idea of that process you've gone through, how have you rolled it out, what challenges you faced. You have some unique challenges, too, you said, being on the government tenant. So, yeah, walk us through, just start with a little bit of that timeline of what you've gone through over the last, like, 6 or 7 years with Office 365.
Sure. So prior to me, before Sean, the organization, MTC, rolled out Office 365 about 6, 7 years ago. And there was really not a ton of guidance in terms of what Office 365 was at that time, even in the consulting space. So they kind of just bought it, threw it out there, and hoped that it stuck. And parts of it do. Parts of it are necessary for work. Outlook, Word, so on and so forth,
yep.
SharePoint. But without that guidance, without that vision, it languished, unfortunately. And they did some stuff with it by hiring consultants who would be really good at one area and they'd build it up and then they would leave. There's not a lot of investment in that, which was unfortunate. So they hired me in January as the cloud solutions architect. So really to take all these different cloud services and platforms, namely Office 365, but there are a few others, and try to build a cohesive vision around what those services are supposed to do and how they're supposed to work in concert with each other.
Okay.
So that's where I came in. This is in January, about 9 months ago. It's been a ride. Before I did this, what I'm doing now, I worked for 3 years as a technical trainer for a training organization. So similar to what you and Scott do.
All right.
With, you go and you sit down with organizations like Levi's and Walmart, and they've got SharePoint, or Walmart.com, and they've got SharePoint, and figuring out what's the best way to, you know, on a team-by-team basis, implement that tool to its fullest extent. So I have some experience, I have a lot of experience with working with those really interesting niche challenges, and I loved that part about it, but there was never any sort of long-term investment that would let me see, did this idea really stick? Because it sounds like, to your point, in theory, it's a great idea.
Yep.
But the X element, people, is it really going to stick? Does it make sense to everybody? Is the training enough now? So I was really excited to kind of come on board and ride this the whole way through.
Okay, so it really sat then pretty stagnant for like 6 years then, from when you first rolled it out up until about 9 months ago when you started there. So did you guys like move to Exchange Online and SharePoint and all of that 6 years ago, and really nobody did a whole lot with it for 6 years? Or did you have it and not even deploy some of that stuff right away? What did that look like kind of before you got there in terms of what you'd actually rolled out and what you had done with those different pillars in Office 365?
Sure. So they threw out an MSI package for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and so on. They were still rolling it out in yeared increments, so they would launch 2010 and they'd sit on it, and they'd launch 2013 and they'd sit on it. They're still on 2013.
Okay.
Guys, if you're listening, get on it. We're working on that. They had implemented SharePoint from day one, which was great. They had hired consultants, kind of my predecessors, so to speak. And so they had done some stuff with SharePoint, but they actually stayed on-premises Exchange for 5 of those 7 years.
Oh, wow.
So they just migrated to Office Online for Outlook about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's interesting, because usually you hear it the other way, where everybody seems to go to Exchange first and SharePoint comes later, but you guys did it the opposite way.
Yeah, and in many ways, I think they thought, we're very forward. We're going to use the intranet portal, and it's going to be great. And they were right to a certain degree, but you're right. There's definitely kind of the head led before the feet did. So there's been some interesting challenges. There were some interesting challenges prior to my time there with regards to that, but they've done it. They've got all in Office 365 now. They still manage identity on-premises. We're working on that too.
Okay.
So there's definitely some interesting hybrid elements that kind of just are because that's the way they've always done it.
All right. You came in 9 months ago then. From your perspective, again, you came from the trainer, you're coming into a relatively stagnant environment. What was the very first thing you did to kind of try to turn the ship around and get them to really start buying it, leveraging some of these technologies you'd invested in but had been kind of stagnant? Yeah, what was that kind of that first thing to kind of get us started?
So there's a hearts and minds conversation hiding behind all of that, because prior to my time, the organization, the leadership, especially on the technology side, they're very bombastic personalities. So anytime something new came along, there were emails 3 weeks in advance every other day or once a week. They were announcing these big changes, and they would come into department meetings and they would say, stop everything. We have a new tool for you, or we have a new change. And so everything kind of was at 11 with every announcement before I came in.
Okay.
And so they were frankly sick of it. There was this, you know, there's some truth to the fact that government doesn't love change. In particular, the people that work within government don't necessarily love change. And so to browbeat them, so to speak, with these changes over and over and over again, they were really sick of technology services, my department, showing up and saying, hey, guess what? New thing, even if it's a new face. So I had to focus on things that were going to drive value, that were going to be useful without an announcement. And so actually, in fact, we've only announced one thing since I've started, and it's the SharePoint portal. We redesigned it. But what we didn't do was do a huge countdown. In fact, we didn't announce it when we launched it. We just started chipping away at these high traffic areas that people were using in SharePoint in spite of itself.
Okay.
So things like gathering resources or getting information or forms or templates or letterheads, we tried to find these places that people were forcing value out of because they had no choice, or it was the best place even if it wasn't the best implementation of it. So we rebuilt that, and we let people tell other people within the agency. There's only about 360 people, and so we were able to let that traffic grow organically, and people come around to the idea that SharePoint can be a good thing without us telling them. And that's been a really, really tough thing to do, because, you know, historically, obviously, from the consultant side of things, you talk about advertising and you talk about change management. But when people are sick of change management, what do you do?
Yeah.
And so that's, we focused on SharePoint, we focused on high traffic, very visual, the cutover from classic to modern. Without telling people there would be a cutover from classic to modern was a risky move, but it's paid off so far.
Okay, that's really cool, and it's fun to hear because we had a very similar conversation. We had Caruana on, it was sometime in September, beginning of September or so, and we talked about that, how as us as IT pros, and the whole IT department really likes those bright, shiny things, and we're always like, ooh, new feature, you gotta go use this, or this new feature, you gotta check this out, and how that can really negatively impact the business users. And instead, what IT should be focused on is exactly what you said, delivering that business value, doing things that don't necessarily require huge announcements, but give the user, make the user's daily lives, their work environment better for them without always shoving the latest new shiny toy down their throat. So it's fun to hear too. You say that that's exactly the approach you took and how well it, I'm assuming, has seemed to pay off then over the last 9 months in terms of just really increasing that business value and not focusing on the new features.
I mean, it's just about telling a story. That's something that I talk about in every meeting that I'm a part of in my department, is not here's this tool that we're going to roll out. It's where does this fit into the bigger story about all these different tools and services that we've got. We have a three-letter word company in our organization. We use Box. Prior to my time, they had rolled it out in spite of OneDrive. And so we really, technology services had just thrown all these tools out there and said, I believe in you, user. Figure out the what to use, where, when, why. And I know it all makes sense to you. And people really don't want that.
Yeah.
People want to be told this is the best tool for the job and here's the bigger story of where it fits in. You know, you do this here and you do that there. You know, Microsoft, I'm still not entirely sure that I'm sold on the inner loop, outer loops conversations, but there's something there, which is this idea of what to use, where, when.
Yes.
And they're starting to make some headway in addressing that conversation. And it's that same effort that we're making within, you know, a very small microcosm within my organization.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, it's interesting, too, that you mentioned they had Box. And I don't know what you have seen from Office 365, but that's one thing I like about Office 365 is there's this weird trade-off. Some people like using Box and Slack and Gmail. And I feel like then you're trying to integrate everything together and make it all work together. Where Office 365, let's admit it, it has its issues here and there.
Sure.
But you get all of that integrated together right out of the box. And even if you don't roll it out right away, as you bring on different services, and they even have different services that can do very similar things. You look at Yammer and Team from the chat perspective.
Sure, that's a whole thing.
It does give you kind of that one solution that as you roll it out, it just all, in my experience, it really does work together well.
Absolutely. I mean, just the other day, I was putting together some information for a meeting that I'm going to be running when I get back. And with no effort on our part, no promotion, OneDrive file storage usage went up 217%.
Oh, wow.
In the last 3 months, which we don't know why. But it's to your point. It's this idea of everything is integrated and it speaks well to each other. And with no effort on our part, people are stumbling into this functionality and leveraging it. And obviously, in an ideal world, we're leading from the front with those kinds of conversations, but we kind of talked about the challenges that have come with us being the face of those changes. And we'll start to take a better hold of that and figure out where the preference for Box came in and how we can leverage OneDrive in a way that tells a better story. Flow, when that becomes available, hopefully in November, Microsoft.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Microsoft, if you're listening, the government tenants really want Flow.
And Forms.
And Forms.
And Stream. And Planner.
Just list them all.
And Power Apps. And Microsoft Search, which is not, at least not yet, as far as this morning, live in the government tenant, but it is live in our commercial production tenant that we've tested in. So there's the whole list there. Trying to figure out a compelling way to tell a story of OneDrive meets the need, not necessarily versus Box, because you don't want to show up and say, hey, this thing you've been using for 5-6 years, forget about it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's garbage. Because that's not the way that you convince somebody this is a good tool. You find out, you know, I know I keep saying it, but you find a way to tell that story.
Yeah.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
So how, as you're going through all these different services and trying to figure out what do we do next? What do we do with SharePoint? What do we do with Exchange? When you get Power Apps and Flow, what are you going to do with those? Do you guys have a very open communication and meetings with the business users? How do you guys, from an IT perspective, figure out what is actually going to deliver that business value to your users?
Sure. So when they hired me, the position initially was cloud administrator, which was very cut and dry, issue licenses, approve permissions, blah, 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 blah. But 2 weeks in, I sat down with the leadership and I said, this isn't how we're going to be able to fix what needs to be fixed or improve what needs to be improved. So I got the green light to change the title to solutions architect, to, from within, tell an organization, here's somebody that can take all the tools that are at your disposal and string them together in a way that meets a really specific business need. And we've been able to use that because people love to try and talk with somebody that, you know, they perceive as an expert and go, here's this problem, what can you do? You know, and from that consultant side of things, I'm sure you can, you know, relate to that. This idea that people want to sit down and go, tell me what the best way to do this is. And so we've been able to broadcast my position within the agency as that. And so people come on their own. Just this morning I got an email for a very specific project. And those small things are going to help me get a better, more three-dimensional picture of how the business operates within the agency. Because as I mentioned earlier, they do a ton of stuff. I still don't fully comprehend everything that this agency does because it truly is the tip of a much bigger iceberg beyond the people that work within the agency. So that's been a really, I think, clever move on our part to help them open up to us.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I never heard of that before where just simply changing your title, it wasn't changing anything you did, any of your job description, any of that. It was just a change in title to a solutions architect and broadcasting that as your new title brought people to you looking for essentially solutions for their business problems.
Yeah, and it's been great. I mean, I'm so over the moon that it worked because otherwise it's a vanity thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I can go to conferences and be like, solutions architect. But people hear solutions and they think solutions. What are the things that I need to improve upon? You know, so we're working really closely with like our social media team right now to kind of rejuvenate what it means for the various arms within our agency to request a campaign and things like that. Normally it's been, no kidding, schedule a meeting in Outlook and then I'll talk to you about it and somebody will write it down on paper and hopefully it'll run.
Okay.
So those small things are going to become much bigger things as other areas of the agencies see that successful. They're going to want it too, and that's how we're going to drive what becomes our official strategy.
Okay. So what types of, I know we talked about some of it already from the whole idea of bright, shiny objects, but what challenges have you encountered as you've tried to roll out these different things? Some of them may be technical, maybe it's related to the government tenant. I know that always brings a special set of challenges. Maybe some of them are just from a personnel standpoint, from a job description. What kind of challenges have you guys ran across that maybe have stuck out and you've come up with good, clever ways to change them, other than things like changing your title, which I'm still stuck on that. I love that one.
I would say I'm going to refrain from beating the dead horse that is the government tenant, because again, Microsoft does some really incredible stuff and I understand the challenges of, you know, getting FedRAMP approval. We don't actually need the government tenant. I found out we're not beholden to that.
Oh, bummer.
They could have gone to the commercial side. They just didn't know there was a difference.
Migration project.
Oh, no. That idea was floated, and my infrastructure and security manager, he said, I will not let that happen.
Got it.
Beyond that, the biggest challenge has to be the lack of team. I have a really great supporting cast of people that are, you know, the IT support. They're great. They're brilliant at what they do. But there's not really anybody else that's building this vision with me right now.
Okay.
It's me in my cube going, hey, you know what would be cool? And running. And that is great. And it's been really successful. And in spite of the historical bias of government, which is that, you know, there's bureaucracy and red tape, everybody's been incredibly supportive at letting me do the things I think need to be done. But the challenge will continue to be resources. It's just me. So right now, all the trainings are done by me. The campaigns that will run are done by me. The SharePoint development and vision boarding is done by me.
Wow.
And this isn't to say like, oh, Sean's so great. By any stretch of the imagination, it's to say that at the end of the day, Sean can do so much.
Right.
And Sean wants to do so much more, but it'll always kind of be limited to the 8-hour day, or if I really hate myself, the 10, 12-hour day.
Yep. So do you guys have, like, are you doing the Exchange admin, the SharePoint admin, all of that? Do you not even have other Exchange admins
so
or SharePoint admins? Or how's that work together with your whole team?
Sure. So there are definitely people that are playing those roles of managing the Active Directory, for example. We do have a wonderful gentleman, Stephen Hohorst, who's running the Active Directory side of that, and that's, of course, curating our shared network drives.
SharePoint.
Working on it.
No, as much as I say that, there are still very real reasons for having network drives.
Sure.
I won't bash network drives too bad.
It's one of those things where you know there's a better solution, but not as compelling a selling point as it should be.
Right. And let's face it, sometimes you need them, because who wants to put a big old ISO that you downloaded in SharePoint? Really, we can keep file shares around for some of those.
Exactly.
So, I mean, ISOs we're
working on sharpening those stories so that it's very specific use cases.
But anyways, back to your admins and your
team. Yeah, so we've got people who are doing the Exchange management, the foundational, I need to be able to send an email, or I need to be able to create a distribution list. There are definitely people doing that. But in terms of driving forward what Office 365 is, and even what Azure is supposed to be within our agency, there's not really been the individuals to play that role.
Okay. So are you, and this is, again, another thing we've talked about, another thing we hear about. I try to work on it with some of my clients, and I'm always curious what others are doing. Are you guys trying to work together to kind of all do Office 365 together? Has it been a challenge at all to kind of bring all those guys in? Because I know I've gone into organizations too, and Exchange guys like their Exchange stuff. They don't want to talk to the SharePoint guys or the AD guys. And as you start going to Office 365, and like we said earlier, everything is integrated, I feel like that need for communication between your Exchange and your SharePoint, your AD, and even somebody like yourself that's maybe doing Office 365 as a whole really needs to increase. Has that been a challenge at all, trying to bring teams together in that manner? Is that something you guys are doing?
So it's definitely something we're doing. And I think that I've been really pleased with how well we've been able to work together. And it's certainly not for lack of support or lack of trust or cooperation. And I certainly don't want to paint a picture of I'm lone wolfing it across this entire expanse that is Office 365. I think, to your point, the way that things are changing, everybody has to be at least aware of what's happening everywhere within Office 365. We don't necessarily need generalists yet. We're getting there. We're definitely really keen to make sure that we're all working together, and we haven't had too many challenges with that. It's just been crafting that narrative of where do I let go and you pick up. The baton toss is definitely a challenge, not from the people standpoint necessarily, but from the roles and responsibility standpoint. Like, this position that I'm in is being written in real time, and we're trying to figure out where am I leeching responsibilities from somebody else so that we can start to build that bigger picture with the least amount of bureaucracy, with the least amount of friction possible.
Sounds good.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. running completely behind the scenes. You don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
Okay, one last thing. We've kind of talked about the whole roadmap. You've gone through all of this. If you could pick one, two, and maybe I'll even let you do three key things that you would tell other people that maybe are in that similar situation where either they have an Office 365 environment that's been stagnated that needs to be rejuvenated, or they're just getting ready to roll out Office 365 and they want to make sure they don't make the same mistakes you did that caused a stagnant environment. What advice would you give to others that are kind of in that similar boat or want to avoid falling into that same trap?
Sure. Three. All right. So I would say probably the biggest thing is the perception. Telling that story, the branding, that it's not enough, and it's unfortunate that this is the case, it's not enough to have a SharePoint site, but you have to have a SharePoint site that looks good, that feels good, that makes sense, that is intuitive. And that's not an obvious thing to do because people are like, well, just put it all in there. Problem solved. Search is great. And it's getting better. It's definitely not enough. And so it's tough because you have to be technology-minded, but you've also got to be visually-minded. And you've got to be able to work through the flow as somebody who's never seen SharePoint before, because especially if you're a team of one or a team of four, you're not going to have enough time and resources to over-the-shoulder support every single user within your organization. So stuff has to make sense on day one. So that's the biggest thing, I think. Another thing that I think that was mistaken that we could have done better on is telling that story about how all these services work together from the get-go. I know a lot of organizations from my training days, and I'm sure you can relate from the consulting side as well. There are plenty of organizations that want to say, we'll roll out this tool, and then we'll roll out that tool, and then maybe we'll roll out this one, we'll see how these go. People already see these resources available, and they don't know what they are. So telling that big picture from the get-go, even if it's not as three-dimensional, as in-depth as you'd like it to be, empowering people to say, yes, we know this is a thing, and here's what we're thinking it's going to be a bigger part of, but not pretending it's not there or hiding the switch, because there are users who are aware that you're hindering the functionality of the product and it's going to feel incomplete and they're not going to buy into it as well.
Got it. So not necessarily rolling everything out all at once, but at least verbalizing that this is that big picture. Yes, we're going to get to this. We're going to roll this out. This is everything there is. This might be the starting point, but here's our ending point.
Yeah, it's that transparency. I think it's something that I joked about when I was a technology trainer. We've been brought up in the IT space to not trust the user. And there's some truth to that in some perspectives. But at the end of the day, we have to empower the user to give them all the tools that we have access to. Not necessarily from the ooh, shiny thing and announcing every single one of them, but giving people the access to be part of preview projects. To be, you know, it's no different than the age-old adage of run a pilot. You know, let people run their own pilots in certain respects.
Yep.
So it really just comes back to tell a good story, empower the user.
All right. And final question. I thought of one more. Favorite announcement from the keynotes that you attended so far?
I'm going to regret whatever answer I give because I'm sure there's something that was announced that I definitely missed. I'm really excited about the search, the unified search across the board, because I think that that's something that we're sorely lacking within the Office 365 platform that's really going to sell it even further. We've hesitated within the organization to co-opt a user's homepage to force them into Office 365 because, boy, if you're going to take away somebody's Google homepage search, they're going to find you.
Yeah.
But if we can, like take Bing for example, if we can roll out Bing and say, hey, you still have your web search, but also now you're latched into the bigger picture within the organization, that might be a softer blow. So I'm really excited, even if we don't do that, I'm really excited about the idea of that single sheet of glass for search across the entire Office 365 product.
All right. Very cool. Thanks a lot, Sean. Thanks for coming on, sitting and chatting with us for a while, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of Ignite and hear lots more cool stuff, and don't get drowned by the fire hose.
I'll try. Thanks so much for taking the time to
share. Right. Not a problem. Thanks, Sean.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.